You're tuned into Art and Labor now on CBC Radio 1.
Yes! I love that. Oh, that sounds so good.
Next up is The Current with Anna Maria Tremonti.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Art and Labor, podcast for art workers. What else do we say?
Oh, we say art workers of the world unite. If you know what that looks like, please help us by drawing a picture.
Yeah, send us a picture of it.
Please. I do not know. How do they unite? Do they all just hold hands and wear red jumpsuits? Or do they all like become a transformer? Only you can tell me, because I don't know.
Well, yes. And I am OK Fox.
Oh, yeah. I'm Lucia Love.
And we're joined in studio by a very special guest, Eric Kostyuk-Williams.
Hi.
Eric is here from Toronto.
Hello.
Toronto's bumping.
And I thought it would be fun to get Eric in. One, because he's staying so close to the studio. No, that's not one.
Oh, yeah. I'm literally like around the corner. It's great. I'm going to the airport after this.
Yeah, yeah. I really wanted to catch Eric because I was just in Toronto for TCAF. And then now Eric's in New York. And we were both on panels on queers and comics. And I just thought instead of just like just relaying it all by myself, it'd be nice to have a fun, fresh voice in the studio.
So fun, so fresh, in so the studio.
Yeah, I went to the threshold of the conference, but I was told that it costs $20. So I went home.
Yeah, a little pricey. No.
I was like, I'll just talk to my friends later.
I don't understand why it's not suggested donation. I think it's absurd, like, for a queer, how do you expect to get, like, people who are, like, on the margins to contribute to these discussions if you don't, like, give fucking people a break? Like,
SVA doesn't have enough money.
Yeah. They're like a huge institution.
That's the worst part.
Cut the bill or something.
That's that for-profit attitude, you know? They're just like, hey, you know, we raise the tuition all the time. Why wouldn't we also charge the ass for everything inside the building?
Eric, you've been to the conference multiple times. Isn't it in multiple cities?
Yeah, they do.
I don't know how it works.
I think it started like 4 years ago now. They do it every 2 years, and they kind of switch every time between New York and San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of a cool way of doing it, I guess, because you get people from like each coast or just like enthusiasts like me who don't mind traveling for fun, losing money to go talk to people.
Yeah, maybe you'll make it back in that precious exposure bucks, you know?
Totally. Oh, totally.
Yeah. Networking bucks.
Dollar at a time.
Uh-huh. No, and they, like, I do kind of dig it because it's different than, like, a comic festival where you're, like, at a table trying to sell shit all day.
All day, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's kind of nice just to go and, like, chat with people and hear stuff. Every time I've gone, I've just kind of, like, taken a deep breath and treated it like a vacation. It's the only way I can.
Yeah, and then the thing is, the folks who are participating who are, like, professors or work in academia, they can get that shit bankrolled by their institution.
Oh, totally.
So to them, it's no sweat off their back. But for people who are like weirdo freelancers or whatever the fuck it is, like, it's just a suck. Like, cause when I was asked to be on the panel I was on, it was like, doing this fancy panel at this academic conference, I think you'd be good on it. And, my friend Io, who does ABO comics for prisoners, it's really cool.
Oh, wow.
I'll post it in the show notes. They're awesome, and their comics are awesome. And so they invited me to be on the panel, and I was like, oh, I assume it's, like, paid something, right? Like, I I wasn't expecting a lot, but I was like, maybe like $20 or like, I don't know, $50.
Nothing.
Like, to just for a stipend, like, or whatever the fuck. But it was just like, yeah, no. And then like the moderator is supposed to do all this work to gather everybody's stuff. Like, it's not even the organizers who are gathering all the materials. The moderator is supposed to do it. And I'm like, I'm not going to do all that. Yeah. For no money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, like, there's parts of it that I think, I mean, I'm so glad it exists. Like, I think what I have dug about it most times, or both times I've been, is like the intergenerational aspect of it. Like, the
that
panel
is really cool.
Yeah, the panel I was on was like comics as activism. And the moderator was this like older queer cartoonist Leslie Ewing, who like helped start the AIDS quilt and was like involved in like the 93 March on Washington. But yeah, like if you want to make it as intergenerational as possible, you have to like help out the younger folks or like the older folks who just don't have the resources to get themselves over there. And I know they do. I think they do have some. Yeah, they did like a fundraiser to help some people travel who like didn't have the means, but
it's weird that people kind of have to like out themselves as someone who doesn't have the means to be able to have access to that sort of thing. I feel like a lot of it is like where, so I think they pay SVA, which is insane, which is totally fucking bonkers pay SVA a rental fee when that is like literally they have multiple programs in their institution that would that do benefit off of like a conference like that. And they could just like officially sponsor it and take that cost away. It wouldn't be anything off of their back.
Listen,
you went to SVA, please talk.
If we start sponsoring all of these people, let's really play this one out here, okay? Because, you know, I'm Mr. Rhodes Moneybucks, and, you know.
Oh, Mr. Rhodes, so good to have you in the studio.
Oh, I'm, you know, not in, you know. Not for nothing. We didn't turn into living chunks of gold out of, you know, the good nature of spirit that, you know, allows people to just gather in rooms together for nothing. And then, like, what do you think? What do you think is in a poor person's head anyway? Knowledge? Of course not. Especially not if they didn't spend their money on this institution here.
Why should we be inviting these plebs?
Yeah,
listen, poor people are smelly and they can't make comics, obviously.
Oh my god. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it's great and I loved doing it and my panel was awesome.
Mr. Rhodes Moneybucks. Panel.
Yeah, the actual like I love the people who actually like put it on. I know it's like not easy, but I think there's definitely things to improve on.
A lot of it
is
the institutions.
Yeah,
side. Like
totally.
It's you know that they should be giving the space for free. And,
I know.
And if and I feel like people also like organizers don't realize like what they're worth. Kind of like it's like no, this is like a very established conference that people really respect, and like any institution would be crazy not to want to host it. And like they could shop around, they could do it at fucking Pratt, they could do it at fucking SUNY Purchase would have them.
Well, what's the deal with Pratt and like the comics festival that they host?
Oh boy. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like they already got their own issues.
Yeah, well, we got into that a little bit on our Matt Thurber episode, if I'm remembering correctly, but it's like
get back in the catalog.
That's like a whole weird thing too, right? It's like these, but people, I just want our listeners to know that these institutions have the money. Like they,
totally.
They don't need to be charging a rental fee.
Yeah.
If they are, it's ridiculous.
Honestly, and that's the thing too with people going for like guest speaking and like, you know, talk to your institutions if you want creatives to come and like enrich your program or, you know, like have a guest speaker and like they'll come for money and the institution has it. And if they say they don't, they're lying.
Yeah, and Lucia is so good with that shit. Like, cause I'm like on, I'm on like punk dollars where I'm like, yeah, $50. And Lucia's like, no, this is worth a lot
more. I'm like, I'm on the fuck you pay me tip now. It's like, I have like, I gotta pay my doctors, you know?
No, I like, seriously. I'm trying to get better about that as someone who's trying to like freelance illustrate more and more. But like, I took a job recently where I was like so flattered that they even reached out to me that I was like, of course I'll do it for like $200. And then
I'll do a thing for $200. Turns out,
yeah.
I mean, that's about that's the low cap though. If it's like $200, like okay.
But then like it ended up being like days and days of work, yeah. And like definitely below minimum wage when you like tally the hours up.
Pretty rough. But you're still like idiot. You're like, damn, Holmes, I got so many popcorners out of this shit.
But the exposure. Yeah. Ugh. I've also had the like, I've been here just for a couple days, but like I still have the experience of meeting like people who live here, and then when I say I'm visiting from Canada, they're like, "Must be nice to live in a functioning democracy." And I'm like, let's sit down for a second and talk about that.
You think you're better than us?
Oh no, we're really not. And like, I don't know.
Yeah, everything I feel like is just like is like 4 or 5 years behind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's basically all happening the same way.
Though ironically, that's true. And
but I mean, there's different things, of course.
We also like had we had Rob Ford as our mayor in Toronto, which was very much like anticipating what you guys have all been going through. And now
he's running for president too.
From he beyond died. The grave.
No, his brother though.
His shitty, more evil brother is in charge of our province now though, and like think he actually quietly just like stripped away healthcare dollars for trans people.
Oh, right. They capped the number of surgeries that the government
So like
health system is allowed to do.
So now all of a sudden a bunch of doctors are like filled up until 2022, I think. So people who've been on wait lists are like, yeah, gonna have to wait a lot longer.
People will die.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting.
Lovely.
And we have a federal election this year, which is thing is that like I feel like people in the US, for better and worse, have like so much more of like a like feisty, combative vibe politically. Like,
it depends on what city you're in, but yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I just feel like in Canada we're so much more like complacent and kind of polite. Like we never had a revolution of any kind. We just like stayed in the monarchy. So
That's true.
So it kind of like it worries me. Like I feel like we're more at risk to just let ourselves go in a shitty direction. Like we take for granted the supposed good things.
But at the same time, you have less scabs. I mean, maybe that's just my perspective, but when I was in Kensington Market, there's the same.
Sorry, I didn't realize you're supposed to put on headphones. This is cool.
Isn't it? So it changes the whole vibe, right? Oh, when you're wearing the headphones, you're really in it.
It's like we're on the phone or something. I like it.
You look you look really cute. You look like a Sega character.
Sick. Aww. Oh my God.
Like Jet Set Radio.
Go on. Sorry.
But yeah, I was thinking about like that Pearl. It was like you have like a Pearl. We have a Pearl Market in New York. That was a whole thing. But there's like a Pearl Market in Kensington Market in Chinatown that got turned into like luxury condos.
Oh yeah.
And
lame.
And but it's just sitting there empty. Like it's just still for lease. And like there was like a big outcry when it happened because they were gonna put an art fair in the building.
That was so corny.
And everyone was like, no.
Another art fair. People love them.
And it like looks disgusting. It's like think of like the worst shitty luxury development here, but like even more ugly and sort of Chicago school.
Sorry, Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
they left
like the lion statues.
Is it just empty because it's really expensive?
Probably.
Yeah, that could be it.
I don't know if buildings that are empty out of protest, because there's a lot of ones that are uninhabited around here, but it's not like for, you know.
That's true. I mean, but I was also thinking of another example where they opened like a wine store in the Kensington Market, and they called it like
wine in the market,
which is, yeah, you could explain this better.
So sorry. Like we have, instead of here where you can buy booze like at the corner store, we have the Liquor Control Board of Ontario, the LCBO. It's like the government like beer and wine store, and there's an offshoot of that called the Wine Rack, which is like kind of known just for having like the shittiest like Ontario wines you could ever dream of.
Oh, dope. That's
it's
like
all government.
That's like the bread line of wines.
So like anytime like a larger business opens in Kensington Market, they know that like if they straight up opened as they are, like people would like get super pissed. So they rebranded themselves as Wine in the Market and tried to like kind of blend in. But no one's fooled by that. I've never seen a single person go in or out of it.
Like, yeah, multiple people.
You can attest to that. Stayed there.
Yeah, yeah. I stayed right on that street. Nobody was ever in there. And then like my friends who lived there were like, nobody's ever in there. Like, so there's like weird, and is there just like
one shopkeep like pressed against the window looking out to the street?
Fuck,
like,
probably.
I'm so lonely. What happened to my life? And then they just drink the wine themselves.
Fuck, they'll probably just automate it and have it be like a self checkout thing.
Oh god, it's like one of those security robots that it just like beeps around, just like Roombaing through the halls. I'm also lonely, and then the robot just starts drinking.
But Kensington Market reminded me a little bit of Koenji. Like, similarly, it's like a small area of all the freaks and artist weirdos that like people, they sort of leave alone. And then if something doesn't leave it alone, everyone gets mad. Because it's like tight knit.
Yeah.
In a way that's not, there's nothing that tight knit in New York anymore because
all the communities are totally denuded. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like so many attempts have been made to gentrify Kensington, and it is like kind of slowly starting to happen now. But I've lived in Toronto about a decade, and like it's really kind of like been resilient. It's kind of inspiring. Word. My first apartment was in Kensington, and I loved it. We paid like $500 each. Like, aww. We had all the bugs you could imagine and mice and stuff, but it was home. I don't know. And they do this like corny like street festival last Sunday called like Pedestrian Sunday. So like I'd be like looking out my window and there'd be people like juggling flames and like selling like cute little snacks and stuff. I don't know. It's nice.
Groovy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just reminds me of a East Village Long Gone is what it reminds me of.
Oh, like.
Or a Williamsburg Long Gone.
Look at all of the street culture.
But we should go do an art and labor because people want to do an art and labor in Toronto now.
What?
Yeah.
Yo, homies, I've never been to Canada.
Come visit.
I want to do an art and a labor.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
What?
My American friends fucking love Toronto. It's so funny. Like, because all I do is complain about it. And then I'm like, what? I guess it is kind of neat. I don't know.
I
probably take parts of it for granted. But.
Well, it's, like when we went to Chicago, we had this moment of just like, oh wow, like, oh my god, these chips that we're eating are so good, and oh, and we got a hot chocolate and we're like, oh my god, this hot chocolate, and we're eating a marshmallow and the marshmallow is good, and like, look at the sidewalk is great, and like, wow, I can't believe it, there's like a 7-Eleven here, like everything is wonderful. So if you want that kind of wide-eyed traveler to come in and refresh your city,
oh my god,
we'll go.
Please.
We'll go to any city.
Yeah, like, we'll go to any city. We'll be amazed by your chips.
I mean, literally, I love fucking travel. I mean, this is why I like doing zines and like doing zine fairs, because I like having an excuse to go another place.
Oh my God, totally. Yeah. I kind of have that experience of like visiting here where I'm looking at it through like rose tinted glasses. I don't know. Like there's so much I love about here. And I feel like, I don't know, Canadians have like a reputation for being nicer, but I actually think people in New York are so much more cool than people in Toronto. Like,
we're just like really real, you know?
Yeah, so real. But like, so I don't know, real. You just, people fucking talk to each other and are like, I don't know, people in Toronto, I think, because I don't think Toronto is ever like meant to be that big or major of a city. And like, I don't know, and so many people who live in Toronto didn't grow up there, much like New York, I guess. But I was thinking this morning just about how back home we're all like so uncomfortable and resentful about having to share space. Like no one has like courtesy or like I just feel like here it's super crowded and whatever, but people fucking make it work. And
that's like the most depressing sad part of living here is just like, it's like the part of like, I feel like I've just been beaten into it where I'm like, oh, you know, I just want like a room to myself. And then it's like, okay, well, actually, like, I'd be cool with a bunk bed. You know, like, I just don't want to fucking sleep outside. It's
literally.
Like, and then, you know, it's a little like, I mean, obviously that's hyperbole, but
no, jeez, I don't know, dude, if it's hyperbole, because there's so many, because like literally in my house, in the apartment above me, they have a bunk bed, like two of the roommates share a room. Yeah.
We're getting there in Toronto. Yeah. They're trying to paint it in like a fun way. There's some magazine article about how like Gen Z kids are like going four people to a bedroom in downtown.
They're trying to paint it fun.
Like, ooh, right?
Oh my God.
And it would be nice to have a one bedroom. And it's like, it sucks because like when you get to New York, when you get there, and like I think like when me and Joey first got to Queens, a one bedroom in our area was like $1,200.
Okay.
Now it's up to $1,800. Oof. At least. That's at the low end.
Damn.
And it's just like, well, fuck. I guess we're just...
Everybody just is friends. Everybody loves to be
friends.
We're
all in a commune, even though we didn't agree to it.
That's like what some European folks I was talking to were like, oh, so everyone like kind of lives communal living. And I'm like, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, by choice or not.
Yes.
We're all people together.
Oh my God. I'm really lucky in Toronto. I stumbled into a one bedroom like 6 years ago that a coworker of mine had lived in for like 7 years, and they'd never been able to raise the rent because it's a really old building. So I just kind of like, I barely knew this girl, but we like pretended to be good friends so that the landlady would just let me take over the lease.
Oh my God.
And like, I'm so lucky. Like I live by myself in an area where like I should be paying twice what I do by the market, I think. But it's also so paralyzing. Like, I feel like I can...
There?
Yeah, I'm literally stuck there forever. I remember when I moved into the building, one of my older neighbors is like, oh, I've lived here for 15 years. I'm going to die in this building. And at the time, I was like, oh my God, no way. And now it's like, yeah, I probably will too.
I am ready.
Yeah, no, like, I don't know. Toronto's never been cheap, but I feel like when I moved there, it was like, I don't know, it felt like a little more expansive, like you could take more risks with your lifestyle, like just, I don't know, you could like dream more for yourself, or like want more for yourself, I don't know.
When I was young, I wanted it all. I dreamed.
We were gonna bring up Cher because
because I have this lovely Cher water bottle.
Oh right, that's right. That's what it was
with her. Yeah.
Me and Joey found Joey's dad found a dumpster full of Cher lunch boxes.
Oh my God!
So we have like 30 Cher lunch boxes under our bed.
If you need to get rid of any more of them,
amazing.
I don't mind taking a few more. I don't know.
I gave one to Eric last year.
Yeah.
And or last fall.
Yeah.
And then I brought one to the store I work at, and it sold that day. And then
yeah, where have you been hiding this treasure? You just like,
I have I have a couple friends who have dibs on one that we have to like mail to them or something. But then yeah, I have a bunch.
That's amazing.
No, I love it. I bring it with me everywhere because I always loved her growing up, and her like feisty Twitter presence just like
Her Twitter
makes me so happy.
Her Twitter is excellent, but then she had a big fall.
She occasionally is like, "I love Joe Biden." And you're like, "Oh no, you're rich." Okay,
no.
Let's not forget that.
She had a really shitty pro-military tweet.
Right, I saw that.
Oh boy.
Well, her dance routines and everything, where she's like a fishnet sailor,
right.
And like everyone is all doing military stuff. It's like that's her act. Like, it wasn't like a secret thing. She's not like, "Oh, hey everybody, I'm just over here saving the trees. By the way, the military is cool." She's like, "Ooh, this is gonna be sexy if I like dance at the USO show."
No, I mean, you're totally right, but yeah. I think I had this I wanted to say trumped up image. That's so dumb.
Wah, wah.
That's such a dumb thing to say.
Trumped up.
I had this like image of Cher as like, cause she would show up to like these city hall protests and like be like, "I'm Cher, I'm here at the city hall protest," and it'd be like small protest, and she'd just be there.
That's cute.
Yeah, like, it is.
But like, yeah, no.
Maybe she just likes fighting in general. You know, she's like, "What are you fighting something over here? Like, I'm in."
On the spectrum of like evil rich people, I feel like she's like on the low end.
She's fun.
Yeah,
she's
she is fun.
And then she'll respond to the criticism all like. Like insanely, like, "I'm sorry, Bob." I don't know. She's like so
all caps.
Emoji. She did an all caps tweet yesterday, just saying something is coming, and then she followed it up just saying "anon," which
what?
Which.
QAnon. Oh my God!
And
then,
QAnon.
Oh no!
And anon, she probably meant it as like anon, like soon. But like, I had a moment of being like, "Whoa, anon!
Yeah.
What does it all mean?"
Yeah, something's coming. "Sorry, anon, it's me, aborted GF."
Wait, can we talk about the art and labor issue that is Britney Spears's?
Shit!
Fucking, do you know about this?
Wait, well, I know some things.
How much
time
do you have?
Oh, great!
This is like the thing I've been following. I've alienated like some friends by talking too much.
Talk to me.
How deep do you want to go?
Her conservatorship. Her dad has conservatorship over all of her, like her whole life.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so then her fans have been protesting to break the conservatorship.
So, okay, let's take it back to December 2018. She was about to start another Vegas residency. And then out of the blue, it was canceled. And she made a post saying that her dad was like really sick and she needed to take time off to like tend to her family.
Oh, no.
And at the time, everyone was like, "Hell yeah, like take your time off. Like your handlers have made you like work so much, even though you're supposedly like not well mentally. You still had like 3 albums and like a zillion live shows.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?" But then there's this podcast called Britney's Gram that started as like just like a comedy podcast about her funny Instagram posts. But after she disappeared, it like took a full investigative turn.
Oh my God.
Where they were like looking at the Instagram of her boyfriend and like her managers, and they're just like kind of realizing something was up. And
that's so insane.
Yeah.
No, that's the trend though. That's like the way that there's like murder casts and stuff where they actually talk to their like podcast audience about solving cold cases.
Right.
So this is like actually the new trend in dealing with crimes.
Yeah, like Finding Richard Simmons too.
Right.
Reminds me of that one.
Which I think in the end, didn't he just wanna like
just
chill
like,
and
no,
be left
he's just
alone.
Like, "I don't want to be a celebrity right now. Leave me alone."
He's like, old as fuck.
Yeah, leave him alone.
Wait, isn't Richard Simmons like really into like attacking Iran right now or something?
What? No.
No. I don't know. Wait, who is? I don't know. I'm sorry. Somebody weird is. There's like a lot of weird celebrities who are like, Iran.
Yeah, there is a lot of weird Iran talk happening right now. But yeah. I don't think Richard Simmons is in public at all. So it probably isn't him.
Oh, good. Oh, no, Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons.
Oh, my
yes,
God.
You're right.
Okay,
you're right.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds more
yeah,
like
Gene
it.
Simmons. Sorry. Okay. I was like, who's the Simmons?
All this music talk's actually really relevant brain. To Eric's comic, which I have in my bag.
Oh neato. Wait, sorry for derailing your Britney.
No.
Yeah.
So the gist of the rest of it is that she made a post saying that she was checking into a mental health facility for a month, but then this podcast was like, hold up, this post is using emoticons instead of emojis. And the way she's writing is like they figured out that it was not her writing this.
Oh my God.
Whoa. So that's when like the whole free Britney hashtag started yeah. and like celebrities like Miley Cyrus said free Britney during a concert and they have the same manager.
Now this episode is called Free Britney.
Yeah, totally. Like
hashtag free Britney.
But
the hashtag free Britney episode.
But there's actually like an investigation now into the conservatorship and like apparently she wants out of it. And honestly
she should be out of it.
Oh yeah. Like I've loved her since I was like 7. And there's actually a great article talking about her significance for like older millennials, and how like her career breakdown kind of coincided with the financial crisis.
Wow.
And like,
we gotta link that in the show notes. That's
yeah,
sounds,
I'll send you the article.
Really good.
It was actually pretty badass. And just kind of like her fallout coinciding with all of us kind of realizing how like shit the government is with like the Iraq war and everything. Like yeah.
We were all like, I know my group of friends, we all like heavily identify with that phase of Britney.
Oh totally. Yeah.
Like that
yeah.
machine I took
the
Eric to the
South
Machine
Park.
Girl show. Yo, yeah, this
the
yeah,
South Park
Britney,
South
Park's few
yeah.
insightful
yeah.
episodes.
It's like, yeah. oh God, she just is being torn apart. People, we need to do something.
Like Chris
continue.
Crocker was right,
and Chris Crocker is on this like current Britney conspiracy theory. He's
oh,
back.
Excellent.
He's oh my God, good. Good.
It's like the internet is coming like full circle from 10 years ago. It's like,
dang.
It's kind of what I've been following to avoid following like scarier world news.
I mean, but then it is the scarier world news.
It is kind of.
Yeah, because
yeah.
I took Eric to the Machine Girl show, which
was
really
amazing.
Funny. But I feel like that type, that scene, that like type of like weird postmodern hardcore electronic shit, like Britney Spears in that era is like, that's the vibe.
Oh, totally.
Like, that's the vibe.
Her Blackout album is very, like, much taking from, like, Electro Clash from the 2000s, like Peaches and stuff
yes.
like that. Like, it's kind of doing that before most other pop music was going there.
Like, that stuff is crazy.
Yeah. And I did a comic a few years ago. It was really short, but I would love to like expand on it someday. It was called Britney Jean 2116, and it's about like a cyborg Britney Spears 100 years in the future who's still doing the Vegas residency, but then Ooh. is like shocked into self-awareness and remembers her human life, and then like
wow.
Kills her Vegas handlers and like escapes to the desert to like convene with a group of like future feminists who
Sick.
Want to like they want to like
so good.
They want to
so
like
good.
Take her into their cause, but then she's like, I'm tired of being part of other people's stuff. I just want to like go do my own thing and rest. And that's
Whoa.
The end of it.
So prescient. That's the spirit of Free Britney.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I hope something good comes of it. Like, ugh. It's
well,
very oh,
what I love about Our Wretched Town Hall, it's like these sort of, they're like short stories.
Yeah.
But they're all sort of about like being on the edge of like the music and art world, and like it's like kind of this like weird fantastical version of like the gig economy or something, where like a building will just be like a person.
Yeah.
Or like stuff like that.
Yeah, like I'd made a lot of work in the last few years dealing with like gentrification in Toronto. And for this one, I wanted to still like touch on that, but mostly focus on like how to keep going and like how to like keep imagining like a future for ourselves, or how to like find moments of utopia, like at like a dance night or like with friends or something. Like, yeah, I don't know. It was kind of like,
yeah, that's funny. Like during the panel I moderated yesterday, we kind of got, we were talking about similar stuff. Cause like I asked the panel, like, what does queer liberation actually look Ooh. Like to you? And they were saying like, they're saying good answers. Like one answer was like, you know, just like being able to like get out and be who I want to be every day. Like it feels like liberation for me. And then I was sort of saying like, well, I'm glad that people can find this like personal liberation. But to me, I want my oppressors to have homes and healthcare and all these things, so that maybe everybody can also find that personal liberation and like be out and like have, you know, like have these moments of like utopia, like themselves, like whether it's at the dance show or whatever. I just want like everybody to be liberated, was like my thought. But like it is nice to like revel in like the small things we have left or whatever.
Oh my god, the Machine Girl show is so dope for that. Like all these like super like cutely dressed like little BBs,
yeah,
they like, were all we moshing were so hard. Oh my god,
we were in the senior citizen section, which they all 28 and up people are allowed in the senior citizen section at the Machine Girl.
Good, yeah.
We were just like, we had like, we just took over like a booth, so then we didn't have to go in the pit, which was,
that was
terrifying.
Such a good call. I don't think I'd ever seen a mosh pit quite like that. I've only been in one in my life when I saw like the Go Team perform in the 2000s, and it was like a yeah, what?
Joey's laughing.
And it was like a happy mosh pit where like I fell down, but people like picked me up super fast, and I thought that was really cute. I don't know.
Oh. Word.
That's really nice.
No, and like, yeah, like I like despair a lot about what's happening right now. But then my partner and I talk about this a lot back home. We're always like, yeah, kind of like sucks to be alive now. But if I'd been alive like 20 years ago, I probably like would have gotten HIV and died from that. Or like I would have not been able to be out, like, yeah, or I would have like,
whatever,
yeah, I would have like not been able to be myself as much. And for him, he actually, a bunch of years ago, had to get a friggin' heart transplant.
Ooh.
Yeah. Whoa. So, like, he's always like, anytime I'm nostalgic for the past, I just think that I'd be dead. Like, literally. So.
Wow.
Things
yeah,
have
heart,
always
heart
been kind of shitty.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Yeah.
Wow.
And it was a real, like, I was just shitting on Canada a bunch, but I'll give that to free healthcare. Fuck. Like things would look very different for him if he was living here. Same with Annie Koyama, this kind of beloved like Canadian comics publisher. She had to undergo this like super high risk brain surgery because she had an aneurysm. And she like, she said on Facebook like a bunch of times like that procedure would have cost like, I think around $1 million here or something.
God, sorry, that's so depressing.
Oh,
to be
okay.
An American.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I mean, we all know folks who have had weird conditions like that who have just died.
Fuck,
you know,
that sucks. Yeah,
for whatever reason, whether it's like they didn't go to regular checkups because mm-hmm. that costs too much money and so it's never caught, or like, you know, whatever it is, like that shit just happens all the time here.
Yeah, and we have so many politicians who are working behind closed doors really hard to take away the stuff we do have. It's bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, America is the model for people to have less. So they're like, oh, right? Look, America's still functioning. Maybe we don't need this. And it's like, no, we're not functioning, guys.
I saw someone post yesterday that when America sneezes, Canada catches a cold. Just like, it's like, damn.
All right. Sorry.
Yeah, really.
Sorry. I have more things to show in my bag.
Oh, yeah. What you got?
So I met this person, Kat. Her and her partner are making this game called Escape the Gig Economy. So she gave me these to get you. You get to take however many you want.
Whoa, oh, wow. What am I looking at?
So yeah, she made this game. It's not quite out yet, but it's gonna be a phone game called Escape the Gig Economy.
Oh, cute!
That's dope.
It's like a little town.
And like her and her partner, were both listeners to the podcast, and like literally were like, "Oh, you're okay, Fox. Like here, this is my game," and showed me the game, and it was really crazy.
You can go on streets.
Oh wow, this is gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's like, is that Rizzo printed?
It looks like it's Rizzo, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, yeah, and you're like, you're just like a warehouse worker trying to escape automation and keep your job.
Whoa.
But it's like a kind of like phone game, idling game. I would play it.
Yeah,
on my
totally.
Phone. I need a new game cool. on my phone. And then what else do I have? I have the Game Workers zines.
Whoa!
Yeah. So yeah, this is their old one with Sonic on it, but like they're all really good. And then like they have this like salary information. This is like, so I really like what the Game Workers are doing, like putting out all of this stuff. Like they already have chapters in like a bunch of cities. They have a New York chapter we should reach out to and stuff. But
oh, nice.
They're really on top of their shit, and I just love the idea of a zine salary share.
Yeah,
all industries should do that.
Right? Yeah, I think someone was talking this weekend about some like handbook for illustrators and cartoonists that say like what rate you should be charging, but I feel like that changes so much like year by year and as the world changes. I think doing it in a more informal zine way would be kind of badass.
Yeah, I like talking to them, and like there's just so much information. They're so put together, and I don't even think they're like a year old. I think they're exactly a year old, this organization. But yeah, so I was impressed with that, talking to the Toronto Game Workers, and then I also have Seth's new zine, or Seth and Ted's new zine.
Oh, I haven't read this yet. I saw it. I have a copy, though. It's about unions.
It's about unions. And Lucia is going to love the art. I already know. But yeah, they're in this band called Green Day. It's really good.
Oh, yeah, they performed around TCAF,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I saw them.
Since TCAF is a home show for me, I'm like so lazy about going to all the events. I'm just like, oh, totally. But my bed is right there.
That's how it goes.
I heard it was really fun though. Yeah.
But yeah, it was basically about like, I think like Seth and Ted were on like a construction job, and like Ted was like, I don't think unions are good. And then Seth was like, no, they are good. And it was just like that conversation. Like,
huh, that's cool.
Like education. Of your friend zine.
Oh, I feel like I need more of that.
It's very nice, and Seth is a really, really cool artist.
Yeah, Seth is kind of like a Seth Scriver, I should say, not Seth.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Seth, like, mononym Seth, is like a famous Canadian cartoonist who is meh.
Okay, I don't
know. I don't know.
Didn't know.
This is rude of me to say, but I don't like him very much. Seth Scriver is great, though.
Yes. So I'm really excited about that. And I visited his studio because I got a custom-made Green Day shirt, which was airbrushed.
Yes.
And he has all these like albums, these like vinyl records that he's airbrushed like weird faces like this.
Oh, it's you'd love it, Lucia. It's so funny.
Sounds cool.
It was interesting seeing his process. Like, I think, was it you or someone else posting a photo from his studio?
Yeah,
I always thought his work was digital, but it's actually like literal, like airbrushing.
Really insane. And he built his whole house, and like him and his friends built that whole house.
Whoa.
Like the whole inside of it. It's crazy.
Whoa.
And he grew up in the market, like, in the Kensington market.
Oh, yeah. His family owns this like amazing vintage store called Courage, My Love. Yeah.
Good.
Like a third of my stuff's from there.
Cool. But yeah, that's my TCAF picks. I just wanted to show you my TCAF.
Good swag.
My Art and Labor official endorsed TCAF.
Your
picks.
Haul. And I was thinking about TCAF and like the festival workers stuff. They've paying people who run workshops during TCAF, which they didn't used to do. Yay. So
pay your panelists, pay your workshops.
Yeah, totally. I'm buds with a lot of the people who run TCAF, and I know they're good people, so I'm happy that
they were
listening to the demands made. Yeah, more conversations to be had about that, I'm sure. But
yeah, it's a whole thing. I can't even wrap my fucking brain around it. There's too many things. But yes, sorry, I got off track a bit.
Oh, no, it's okay.
I have other things in my bag I can show.
Which she is like, okay.
No, it's too much. It's just clothes.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Look at that. Hey, guys, everybody, look at that.
Yeah. Listeners, no way.
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, shit. Thank you so much.
Whoa.
So, sorry for all the Britney talk. I really.
No, that was, you know, we had a.
I think it being the free Britney episode is best.
Yeah.
You could get a whole other type of listener tuning in for that.
Whoa. The people ravenous for the any Britney discussion. I feel like I've been there with like certain news stories where I was just like literally seeking out any like podcast I could about like certain news stories that I was obsessed with while at like my job, because I couldn't like read any. So I would like just look up like who else is talking about this. Like, I've totally been there. I don't know. Maybe I'm like psycho, but.
Next up is Q with a non-disgraced host, hopefully.
you're listening to Art and Labor CBC. We get money from the Canadian government for playing Rush 30% of the time.
Oh my God.
We get money from the Canadian government to play Rush
and what else? Bare Naked Ladies.
Bare Naked Ladies. And Jan Arden.
Drake.
All the softest boys.
There's a real thing that happens when I come to New York where the first fucking place I go into is playing Drake. And I'm just like,
why is this
can
happening?
You let me live?
Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining us today. I had a lot of fun talking weirdo shit, comics and music shit.
And I learned a lot about Canada.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I listen to this all the time while I'm drawing, so it feels like
that's so fun.
A fucking trip that I'm going to be listening to myself.
That's so true.
Hopefully I don't hate my voice too much.
Yeah, most people are like, I hate my voice. I never listen to myself, but I listen to like every episode basically.
Probably get used to your own voice. I don't know.
I kind of have to in case like something needs to be messed with or whatever.
Right.
But it's like whatever. It's whatever.
Just let it happen.
I'm also a narcissist, so.
Same. It's like all of us.
Every flamboyant art freak is also a narcissist, like a little bit. Like,
dang. You know.
It's in there. But yeah, thank you, Lucia, for putting up with us in our bullshit also.
Yeah, oh, thank you.
Man, I'm learning every day about things that I didn't know.
Oh my God, I've learned so much from you two over the months. And how long have you been doing this now? Like a year?
Like a year, probably.
Yeah? Nice.
I think it's been a year exactly, almost.
It's been over a year.
Over a year, yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's insane. I've learned so
much
from Lucia. Because Lucia will actually do heavy research and book reading.
It'll be a year tomorrow.
Year tomorrow? Oh,
well,
shit.
That's when we posted the first one. But right. we were like started,
reading.
Yeah, we started it a couple weeks before that.
Yeah, talking, yeah. Meeting.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh, God.
Happy anniversary, doodle bitches.
Oh, my God. Happy anniversary. Sorry that... we haven't posted a lot of new content. I want to do that series of mugs still.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to try to get on that.
We're bad at
We're really bad at managing that, but we really appreciate everyone's support. Just stay honest. Just email us and be like, hey, I really want a thing. And we'll be like, sure, give us your address and we'll do it.
We'll see. We'll see if we have a thing.
That's
and
true.
Then we'll give it to you.
Right now, I have four mugs. So
oh, my God.
We could give up to four mugs. But I want to produce, I want to like produce, like I do a commercial run of like 20 or more or whatever.
You should.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be sick. Oh, I brought you an Art and Labor shirt also.
Thank you.
Just like more shit in my bag. More visual shit. Okay, everyone, check out the show notes for all the stuff we talked about and for picture accompaniment. And thanks everyone for tuning in. Thank you, Toronto, for having me in TCAF. I had a great time. Thanks,
New York, for having me.
Oh, my God, yeah. Queers in Comics was fun, and I'm glad I did it. But, yeah, it was... if that was recorded, I will also post that in the Art and Labor, whatever. I think all the panels were recorded.
Yeah, most of them. Yeah. I hope all of them. There's ones I want to listen to that I couldn't go to, for sure.
Totally.
Like the Furries one. That was at the same time as mine, and I was like, I'm so happy anybody came to mine.
Lucia, somebody can't, like recognized me at like the bookstore at the conference, and they were like, oh, did you do a zine that was like had like a purple cover, like photo stuff? And I'm like, are you talking about Further Affinity?
Oh.
And they're like, yeah.
I wanted a copy of that.
Oh, wait, I literally oh my God, I'm such an idiot. I have one at my house to give you. I think I meant when you gave me your like undergrad zine, I meant to give you one then, but I think I forgot.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. I'll just bring it next time.
Okay.
I see you. But yeah, it's Lucia has the best spread. Lucia has like the spread in
I draw furry porn. I actually have like a couple books of furry porn that's like really classical style.
Yes. It's brilliant. It's beautiful.
It's like a bunch of different dolphin women who are like doing lesbian things on a beach.
I want one. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like at one point in my life, I just drew like about 100 pages of like lesbian dolphin women.
I'm trying to convince Lucia
like,
to
no reason.
Make this like, into a no, book or a zine.
Never change.
No, I just want people to find it when I'm gone, you know? And just be like
a
box. Oh, Jesus.
That happened to Tezuko when he died. They unearthed a drawer full of snake women and mice women.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That literally happened to Tezuka.
That's the world. Damn.
But yeah, isn't that crazy? Somebody's like, didn't know any of my other stuff, just knew Further Affinity. And I was like, here's my podcast, a sticker for my podcast. My podcast mate did the spread, the dolphin lady spread in that.
Hell yeah.
Shwa-bam.
It's more of that dolphin energy.
Oh my God. I'll post a picture of that on the Instagram too, in case, because probably a lot of our listeners don't know about Further Affinity because that was like in 2015.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
2015
that was another time.
It was a different world.
Yeah. Things were more innocent then.
Yeah.
I don't want to bother people with like happy times.
Oh my God.
I need them though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, just become like the Chuck Tingle of pictures.
You should do all of his like book art instead of like the
welcome to another spine tingler.
Love is real.
Love is real.
You must find love. Love is real.
Yeah. And love is something a saber-toothed dentist can teach you when they're also a ghost.
And a butt.
And perhaps being pounded in the butt by my own friendship is something I can teach others.
Dude, it's so sick we got Tingler. Chuck Tingle on the pod at the end there.
Yeah, just gotta let it, you know, you gotta curate the things, you know, you can't just like switch gears into market land. Cause like what, honestly, like what my head is full of is something that's like such a different gear. Mm. I'm just like, I don't even know how to, you can't go from like this gear to market gear and then expect it to the car not to just start making crazy sounds, you know? It's like, I mean, it might keep driving, but like, it's just gonna be like, what? No!
My brain's just really, really on one. So I love this episode. Thank you, Eric, for joining us. I feel like it was a joyous ep. Fun ep.
Joyous.
Thank you.
Everyone check out Eric's comics. And thank you again for your continued support of Art and Labor.
And thank you for wearing champagne-colored nail polish.
Oh my god, thanks. It's like barely there. It's yeah. It's seen some stuff.
It seems natural.
Thanks. Okay, everyone. Bye.
Let's have fun.
I get if you have an aeroplane that can fly the world and we can have a fantasy. It doesn't matter if you drive a limousine. It really doesn't matter if you drive for galaxy. I really don't care if you destroy a truck. Let's have fun, lots of fun.